Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio. I'm your host, Carol Murphy. Thank you so much for listening. This evening, our guest is Kalila Olokanola, or KO, better known as KO, and she is with an organization called True Colors. In just a moment, she will be with us to share her story. She's a fascinating woman with a fascinating story. Remember also that you can find us on Facebook or you can email us at heartstockradio@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. In just a moment, we will be back with KO. For listening to Heartstock, I'm Carol Murphy, your host. Here in the studio is Clark Grant. He's running the board and keeping us straight. Our guest this evening, Kalila Olokanola, KO for short. Hi, KO.
Hi there. How are you?
I am excellent. Can you please give our listeners just a little intro, what it is that you do?
Sure, I can. So today I'm the VP of Human Resource for True Colors, a for-profit brewery with a social mission to unite gang rivals and decrease gang violence across the country. And what that means is that I help define a company culture that drives personal and professional growth. I do a lot of training and development, of course, the hard job of hiring and firing. And when I'm not busy doing that, I'm writing more books, I'm speaking, and I'm core coaching women, intra and entrepreneurs.
And how many books have you written?
Two so far to date. They both are workbooks. And so you actually have to work it for them to work. The first one, they're both characterized as systems to help you find that courageous part of who you are. So they're more personal development books that are used for people that are working with individuals that are trying to bounce back from difficult situations, from tragedy and trauma.
And before we went live on the air here, we were just talking a little bit about your personal story. And I am very excited to learn more about this myself and excited to share it with our listeners. What was it about your background that led you to do this work?
Yeah, so I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I was always around people that were active on the streets, gang members, Bloods, Crips, Folks, Latin Kings, just different gangs.
And you know, where was that at?
That was in Brooklyn, New York. And so I spent time on the streets in Brooklyn, upstate New York, Virginia. I traveled a lot. And part of that was some of the upbringing I experienced. My mom and dad were upper middle class, both degreed. And we just had a traumatic situation that happened in our house and things spiraled. And I found myself outside, you know, on the streets, looking for some place to stay. And I ended up upstate New York hustling, you know, selling drugs, part of an enterprise, I called it. And I realized that I was really good at sales. And I spent time with some of these notorious street gangs on the streets. And, you know, I realized that people were willing to work together for a common cause when, you know, it came to care and it came to community. And so, you know, that being out there in the streets put me in a situation where, you know, I was coming back upstate one day and we were pulled over in the car and I lost my name to a DIN number. And what that means is that, you know, I was arrested for a crime, a drug crime, and I ended up serving a little more than 4 years in prison with an expected lifetime on parole. I came home after serving those 4 years. And because I had done so well when I came home, they released me from that life parole. And when I relocated from New York City to Wilmington, North Carolina, to get married, I started a business here. And I just had this epiphany one day that the American dream that I wanted didn't really include a house or a picket fence. It included making an impact in the lives of others who had lost their name to a DIN number or who were looking for resources because they wanted to do something different, but they had been defined by their past. I knew that if I could do something with myself, that they could also change their story. And so I started speaking and sharing not my story, but sharing stories of others and creating workshops and development programs to help train people how to transition from the block to the boardroom, or how to start companies on their own if they had a skill. You know, we had to help them groom the gift. And I found myself in New York City speaking at the Women's Venture Fund event, and the founder of True Colors, George Taylor, just so happened to be there. That was our first initial face-to-face conversation. And it was there that I realized that the story that I had, that I harbored and held on to for so long, could be useful in this situation. And not just useful, it would be impactful, that it would be what qualified me to be positioned for this role in a way that not too many people would be able to do. And so for the first time in all my life, I was able to share my story with George unapologetically and boldly, because he asked the question, you know, how do people bounce back from difficult situations? You know, how can this thing work? And I said, well, I'm exhibit A, that you can go from the block to the boardroom. Because when I met George, you know, I had already served my time. I had already been released from parole. I had gone back to school and got my associates and then my bachelor's, and had been working on my master's degree. I had already started two businesses and was in the process of selling one. So I was evident that people could go from a situation and transition and change their story and do something more positive with it. And I found myself, you know, hired for a week to give a training, and that week turned to a 6-month contract. And now today I am the VP of HR for True Colors, where I'm able to help the team that we serve transition from the block to the boardroom. And I'm able to translate a lot of what we do from gang culture to business and corporate culture.
So I'd like to talk a lot more about that and hear more. But before we go down that path, can you share with us a little bit about what your experience was like being incarcerated, and what happened to you while you were on the inside that created this huge turnaround in your life and motivated you? I mean, you have to be really, really motivated to do what you've done.
Yeah. So for me, you know, I was broken when I went in there. You know, you don't realize how broken you are until you have to sit down in a cell and you're being confined and you're being told what to do, like when you can shower, when you can eat, what you can wear, who you can write and who you can see. You know, you have a lot of opportunity to look not just outwardly at what's happening, but to look inwardly at yourself. And in looking at myself, I realized that I had been broken from so many different situations. And instead of asking for help, you know, I harbored it and I put myself in situations that I thought were actually helping me, but they were hurting me. And so I just had this really big awakening, this spiritual awakening, you know, where I rededicated my life, you know, back to God. And I knew that once I did that, that there was going to be a change. It wouldn't come right away. It would be a process, but I was willing to go through the process. When I did that, I found myself freer than I had ever been. Even though I was behind bars, I was free. But before that happened, I mean, it was challenging. I mean, the meals that you eat, the way you're spoken to, the way you're looked at. You know, I was all the way upstate New York, and my mom and dad lived in Brooklyn, and I didn't really want to see them, because you had to face them, and you had to face the look in their eyes of disappointment, you know, and of worry and concern, and of trying to tell them that it wasn't anything that they did wrong. It was my own actions and behaviors that led me here, but that I was going to take responsibility and do better, hopefully, when I came home. And so it was a hard time. It was a difficult time, but it was a time where I got to know myself. And not everybody has that experience. You know, it depends on where you are and who you surround yourself with. The prison system, you know, for some people becomes a revolving door. But if we create programs and we address the situations that led people into the prison, I think we will be able to reduce recidivism, you know, and equip people coming home to qualify for roles that may be available in the community or in corporate America.
Yeah, and that seems to be a huge hurdle for so many, because mm-hmm. you have this mark and this history, and people don't want to give you a job. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, you know, when you did that deep soul searching, did you realize that this was going to be your life's path?
No, not at all. Actually, I had no idea. I mean, who starts a company that hires active gang members, right? I mean, that's like, I mean, no, it's never
innovative.
There's companies like it, but they're focused on different things. It's usually the older gang members who are no longer in the gangs. They focus on recidivism, or they're trying to get you out of gangs. And True Colors is not set up like that. You know, we ask you to stay active because we want you to take what we teach you and push down that positive peer pressure, right? And we're looking at the people who are at risk of being shot or are active shooters. And we're looking to help them make a turnaround. You know, I had no idea that this would be my life's work. When I came, I mean, I thought to myself when I came home, I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to make it. You know, Carol, when I came home, I had the choice to go back upstate and get everything that I had when I went to jail, or go back home to my mom's house with nothing. And I just really felt this pull to go back home to my mother's house with nothing. And so I came home with a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and I ran into a girl who I was in prison with, and she told me that her company was hiring and that they hired felons. And so I was able to get a job at Sprint, a third party for Sprint, doing telephone sales in New York City. I went there, interviews was over, but I got stuck in the elevator with the lady who actually ran the whole company, and she decided to hire me after they fixed the elevator, right? And she moved me to an account, and actually the gentleman whose team that she positioned me on, I'm married to today. How about that?
That was a very happy and fateful elevator disaster.
Yeah, it was ironic. I mean, it was, yes. You know, she was just like, I was like, she's like, do you work here? I was like, no, I don't. But I came for interviewing, but I guess it's over. Then the elevator just stopped and we just talked. And she said, you know what? I told her that, you know, I was looking for a job, that I needed a job because I had been serving, you know, a little more than 4 years, and they was going to let me do home visits on work release if I found a job. And she looked at me and she was like, you've been to jail? I was like, yeah. And after talking to me for no more than 6-7 minutes, she decided to offer me a job opportunity. And it was the first step, you know, for me realizing that if I put in work, that it would work for me. Mm-hmm. And I dedicated myself to that job. I mean, I worked to the level of excellence, you know, because I wanted to, I felt like I had much more to prove than my other team members, because I didn't think anybody else had a parole officer coming to check on them. So I worked hard. I always hit my sales. I went above and beyond. I showed up early. I left late, you know, and then from there, my career just continued to go. It just always seemed like something was in place for me to continue to grow. From DF King, you know, working with Sprint, I went to the Bowery Mission Transitional Center, and then Opportunities for a Better Tomorrow, then to David Warner International. And then I started building businesses on my own as side hustles until I actually moved to North Carolina and built an event and set design company on my own. And I mean, I've worked in film and TV. I've done events for Willie Stargell Foundation. He's a baseball Hall of Famer, right? And I did their event every year. I worked on films like Iron Man 3 and Mary and Martha and Tammy doing premiere parties. And so, like, I've went through all these difficult situations in my life, and my story completely changed. I remember the day I was at a hotel here, and I had just finished doing an event for HBO Eastbound and Down, and the check I got was signed by Will Ferrell. And my heart was so overwhelmed because I realized that that prison sentence wasn't the end, but it was sentencing me to push myself to stay hungry, to do more, to be more, to show people that there was still opportunity and that there was still a way, that they didn't have to give up where they were, that after gates slammed, that eventually one day they would open, but they had to come out, and they had to come out fighting. They had to come out with fortitude and with tenacity to do better. And that if you share your story, right, it'll build others to believe the same thing. Because just because I made it, it didn't mean, because I was able to get to where I was, it meant that other people that went through the same situation could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. We are at that halfway point. We're going to take a quick music break, and we will be right back with KO, and she's going to tell us more about True Colors. This is Heartstock.
Mm-hmm.
This is Heartstock, and we are speaking with KO, and she has a very powerful story that she's sharing with us. She's with an organization called True Colors. KO, can you give us a little history of True Colors and when it was founded and all that good jazz?
Sure, yeah. I think I said before, True Colors is a for-profit brewery with the social mission to unite gang rivals and decrease violence in Wilmington first, but across the country. True Colors was started because a young man who was 15 years old was gunned down and killed on Castle Street in our community, not too far from our founder's office, and it shocked him, because it was done by another teenager as well. And so he reached out to some friends he knew, and he said, people ride down blocks and shoot guns. And, you know, he lives in this bubble in this community in Wilmington and didn't think that gangs really existed. And he found out that they did. And so he was able to connect with the gang task force, who connected him to who they thought were the top gangsters in town. And he spent some time getting to know them. And one of the things that he realized is that they weren't tied to the drug trade, that what they were looking for was an economic solution. And so because he had connections in the beer industry, he's a serial entrepreneur, George Taylor. He also owns National Speed and is chairman of Untapped. He thought that this would be a good space to start a company. And so he decided to launch True Colors, and he ran a test. The first test was three guys. He wanted to see how they would work in his company that he has, that kind of has a Google set up, right, filled with millennials. And he found that in 48 hours, they were the most popular people in the building and that they were able to keep up with sales, you know. And then he thought, well, maybe we just got the best three. So he put a call out for all top gang members who had influence, if they were looking for a job, that he was offering one. But not only did they have to come work, but he had to see no violence and no shooting for at least 45 days. And he brought them in. And in that 45 days, there was not one shooting. And they actually did the job that he asked them to do. So he launched True Colors. And so True Colors actually began in 2017 in Wilmington, North Carolina, with 12 leadership individuals. And we created things like the Hero Program. We put them through this 8-week onboarding where in the morning we work your body with this big brawly trainer named Josh. Now we have Tank, who is an active gang member that's taken over our health and wellness department. And then we have hot yoga and the health and wellness class. And then in the afternoon, we work your mind. The curriculum that was developed for them is life skills, social skills, business skills, and of course, beer. The framework includes formal classroom training, a development activity, a special project, and a beyond the block experience. And so throughout that time when True Colors started, we realized the importance of taking our guys outside of their community and introducing them to people who use their voice to fight and shape their communities, and they didn't have to use a gun. And so these beyond the block experiences helped enforce that formal classroom training that we gave them. And once they got through this program, these 8 weeks, George realized that it could possibly work. And so True Colors became official. And today we're under construction with our 45,000 square foot facility in Wilmington, North Carolina. It'll include a 50,000 barrel system, office spaces, classrooms, because our curriculum that I developed will be not just for the classroom for the guys, but it will be outward facing to the community. And it will also include a gymnasium and a daycare center for our team members who have kids. And so today, True Colors is working just to unite gang rivals and to promote peace. We want to unify people. And since we started, we've seen a decrease in violence by more than 80%.
So I have so many questions for you about helping us all understand. Mm-hmm. You obviously plugged into this huge need, you know, the realities on the street and why people turn to gangs. And it just sounds to me like the individuals you work with are really hungry for what you're offering. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, it's actually true. I think people are hungry for opportunity. You know, one of the guys that works with us said that opportunity is the greatest equalizer. Even if we have beef and problems, when you have opportunity, we'll all come together because we can create a better life. Because, Carol, what you find is that if you help the man of the household, because the guys that we have in there, some of them are we have some young people who, you know, are 17, 18 years old, but the older guys who are at the core of the company, they have families, they have kids, they have responsibilities. And when you give them opportunity, a livable wage. And again, I provide each team member a personal and professional development plan. The core is important to us. That's their money, housing, transportation, and relationships. So we're helping them get themselves together, not just, you know, professionally, but personally. We're helping them find great housing, get transportation. You know, we're helping them around those things that matter, because it's difficult to focus on the job when everything outside is a little messy. And so by helping them focus on the whole person, we realize that our entire team, you know, are working towards building a better future for themselves and their children. And if you can help change that individual, it changes their family. And if you can change a family, it changes an entire community.
Indeed. And how did you develop this personal and professional development program? How did you know what would work?
Yeah, so two different things. So for the personal and professional development plan, it's based on, so I actually send them a survey about what they want for themselves, what kind of goals they have, and what they're looking for their futures. And I actually shape that plan around that. But the curriculum, which I think you may be asking about, is like, what are we lacking? You know, what did I lack? You know, or what did I see lacking in people in prison, or people that I was on the block in when I was younger? Or what are the guys looking for? For what do we need so that we can develop our team to eventually take on larger roles in the company? Because as VP of HR, I should always be working myself out of a job by training up the person that works directly with me to assume a role in HR as well at a high level. And so we look at that and we realize that life skills, social skills, business skills, and beer. And, you know, I have this process where it starts with the conversation. So, but before the guy is in the building, I start with an initial conversation just to see where they are and to see if they're really ready for what we're going to offer them. Because listen, this 8-week onboarding is hard. It's 8 a.m. at the gym, and then it's 5 p.m. you leave the building. And if you're 1 minute late, then I let you go until you come back next time if you're really ready. So it's really set up like a boot camp. And we start with the conversation, and then there's beliefs. The first week is always the belief week. I'm trying to teach you how to believe in what you thought was right. I'm challenging what you thought is right. I'm challenging you to believe in yourself, to believe in this process, and to believe that you deserve this opportunity that you're going to get after all the things that you may have experienced, or all the lack of experience that you may have. This opportunity is yours. You just have to own it. And after beliefs, I teach skills, because if I don't give them beliefs first, then they won't be able to use the skills I give them or believe that they have the opportunity to use them. And so it's beliefs and then skills. And after skills is opportunity. Immediately after the class, we have to find meaningful work for our team members to do. And with not having a brewery, you know, we've subcontracted and partnered out with organizations who helped us provide our guys with successful internships so that they can groom their gifts while they're there. And then those opportunities lead to growth. And from growth is success, and success is prosperity. And prosperity for us is, you know, strong finances, strong relationships, strong mindset.
One curious thing that I've thought a lot about is, you know, you've never said in any of the conversations or in anything that I've read of yours that you tell the men that you're working with that they can't be gang members. So it's not about that. So you want them to help us understand. You want them to go back out and interact with their fellow gang members and be a positive influence upon them.
Yes. So part of working the True Colors is we ask you to stay active. Part of that is your influence. The guys that are leaders in the gangs are working with True Colors in Wilmington, North Carolina. And so by doing that, they have influence, and they can influence the peers that respond to them. And so we train you, you know, we teach you, we give you an opportunity for work, and then you begin to refer your other team members in, and we do the same thing for them. You know, we kind of want to change the perspective, the perception of what people believe gangs are, because originally gangs weren't made or weren't designed to promote violence or to sell drugs. They were a call in the communities, you know, to action, to help with things like resources, because there were poverty in certain places. And so our goal is to transition that perception back to what it originally was. And so our guys, they can't leave the gang if they want to stay in True Colors. They have to be a part of the gang because their influence matters. We want them to be positive influencers to the people that respect them, look up to them, and that they actually serve with in their respective affiliations.
So the first thing that comes to my mind is probably, you know, a concern that you've had to push up against before, and that is, how do you influence the gang and not allow the gang to influence your enterprise? Is there like spillover of violence into the workplace and things like that? Do you ever worry about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're working with any kind of team members, whether it's gang or non-gang, violence can always spill over into any workplace. I think for us, it's our vet and assess process that matters. You know, we pull people in who are ready for change, people who are ready to be positive role models in their communities, people who are ready to promote peace. And, you know, when we have an issue, just like in any workplace, we mediate. We have a conversation because conversation is important. And we don't have to agree to respect each other, right? Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to what that one guy said, opportunity is the greatest equalizer. If we all have opportunity and we're all focused on the same things and the common goal, then we don't want to mess this up for ourselves. I mean, you know, and so will something like that happen? We don't know. What we do know is that we have things in place to help mediate and to facilitate peace ongoing.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about funding for a moment, because that's always a challenge with a startup. Yeah. Where are you getting your funding? How does that work?
So, True Colors is privately funded by our founder, George Taylor. We haven't received any outside funding as of yet, but it's privately funded by George Taylor.
And how does he feel about the success? I can only imagine what that must mean to him to see things working out so well.
Well, I think that, and I can't speak for George here, but, you know, I want to tell you one thing that George always says is that, you know, if you come, nobody that comes to work for True Colors leaves is the same. We all have changed. We all have become passionate about so many different things that we didn't know existed. People are fighting for peace in different ways. We're just fighting it on this level, but people are fighting for peace in, you know, everywhere. And so it just, I think his happiness, you know, I don't think it doesn't stem from just the day to day. It stems from people saying yes. It stems from people showing up to work. And it stems from the ongoing fight that we have to unite gang rivals and the people that we are responsible and accountable to, because we go out and speak about this all the time. And every time we go, people cheer us on. They give us standing ovations. And we know that that comes with a lot of responsibility to fulfill what we say we're going to do to unite gang rivals. And so, you know, I think that George is happy. He's changed, but he knows that we have a big responsibility ahead and we have to keep fighting every day in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sounds like you plan on expanding. We're at that point in the show where we wish we had more time. And I'm just hoping that you can share with everyone how they might reach you before we sign off here.
Yeah, I can be reached at KalilaAlokanola.com. I can also be reached online on any social media handle under Kalila Equips. That's KhalilaHEQUIPS.
Mm. Thank you so much for being our guest, and thank you so much for the work that you're doing. We're doing a standing ovation here in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me and letting me share this story. Every time we get to share this story, it reminds somebody else that we all have a responsibility to use our story to impact and to change lives.
It's beautiful. This is Heartstock, and we will see you next week. Peace.
And on the sign it said, no trespass.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5, Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via livestream at ButteAmericaRadio.org.
That's